Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to want to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Catrice Nolan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It is a blessing to have you here. How's your day going?
It's going awesome. It's a beautiful day. So I look forward to each and every day.
Awesome. So Catrice, for the folks out there who may not necessarily know who you are, why don't you just briefly tell them who you are and how they can follow you? And you have a great book out there as well, right?
I do, Dr. Watson, I do. So my name is Catrice Nolan. I'm a cancer advocate and cancer survivor of 9 years. And I have a book out there called I've Been Diagnosed Now What? Courageously Fighting Cancer in the Face of Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt. You can find it on Amazon, and you can learn more about me. And if you'd like a signed copy of the book, go check out my website. It's catricenolan.com, K-A-T-R-E-C-E-N-O-L-E-N.com. And then you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Catrice Nolan.
That is awesome, folks. What an amazing story. You're going to hear more of it in just a moment here. But be sure to pick up her book, follow her, and she's even going to give you a signed copy. So that's really good. Really good. So Catrice, as you know, our podcast focuses on bringing amazing people like yourself on. And you kind of mentioned this struggle, you know, at the age of 38, where people are in the prime of their life, planning, preparing for this future ahead of you, and you get a diagnosis that changed your whole life. Tell us about that, please.
Absolutely. You're thinking like you're in your late 30s, you're at the top of the world. I had just started a business. It was 2 years old. Our kids age middle school all the way down to preschool. And, you know, about to celebrate 15 years of marriage. Yeah. And it was all turned upside down just after my 38th birthday. When after going through a series of, you know, finding out something just didn't seem right with my body, no lump, as they tell you to look for, you know, did a breast self-exam, going to the doctors thinking that there's nothing wrong, but just to be safe, let's go do a mammogram. Mammogram results saying that there's nothing conclusive to think about. And a couple weeks later, I'm sitting in front of the mirror and I couldn't button my shirt.
Wow.
I had a significant amount of swelling that I couldn't button my shirt.
Wow.
And that's when I had this dread, like, okay, something's seriously not right here.
Right.
And went to the doctor's office. And after a series of them kind of, you know, almost trying to turn me away, I had to, you know, fight before I even knew I had to fight, right? Just to get a diagnosis. And it turns out that they thought I might have what's called inflammatory breast cancer. Wow. It was after hearing that, thinking like, okay, I knew it was probably not something good.
Right.
But when you hear someone else say it to you,
yeah,
it's like, whoa, okay. You just put it out there. You've spoken it publicly.
Yeah.
I hear it. So this has got to be serious. And then they had that, you know, adverb in front, inflammatory. And I'm thinking, I did not know that there was anything up other than breast cancer. What are they talking about? And like many people, what do? You go to Google, Dr. Right. Google. And I was in the parking lot of at the grocery store parking lot, right? I hear this devastating news. And the first thing I think was, okay, I need to go to the grocery store, right? Family's got to get fed. Let me just proceed. But before I stepped out of the vehicle, I did do a search and I looked it up and it said inflammatory breast cancer is the most aggressive form of breast cancer. It starts at stage 3 And there's only a 40% chance of survival after 5 years.
Wow. Wow. Catrice, that is, that's amazing. And I can't imagine, you know, being in 38, 15 years of marriage with a family you're still raising to get that. Tell us about, you know, because people may hear about that from a distance, though. Talk to us about the feelings that went through your body when you heard those words come from your doctor. What were the feelings, the emotions that you kind of had to deal with in that moment there?
So the feelings that came were, that initial feeling was just, one was frustration because, you know, as I mentioned, just trying to get that appointment, trying to be seen that day. So there was a lot of, you know, just background noise and I felt like I wasn't being heard. But then when I finally heard it, it was definitely shock.
Yeah.
And I know now it was shock because my first inclination was, okay, thank you for telling me this. We'll be back tomorrow to get a skin biopsy because if it's present, it'll be in the skin. Now I'm going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was definitely shock. And then that final, you know, nail in the coffin was doing that Google search, seeing that result. And I sat there in that minivan in that parking lot and I just cried my heart out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just cried my heart out thinking, oh my God. How could this be? And my other thought was, have I caught it in time?
Yeah, absolutely.
It starts at stage three. So I already had a inkling that, okay, this is what it could be. It could be stage three. Have I caught it in time? Because if it's progressed to stage four, it had been a number of weeks. If it's progressed to stage four, then I'm looking at a different situation.
Yeah. Well, that's powerful. I mean, you're talking about a cancer that doesn't start at stage one or two, but three, I mean, right away out of the gate. So powerful. What were some of the coping mechanisms that you turned to kind of endure during this time?
So some of the coping mechanisms I used were leaning on my family. Mm-hmm. My husband, you know, we cried that initial night, we cried over the weekend. And then my husband was like, okay, it's time to stop crying. We know this is what the situation is.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's figure out what we have to do. Shared it with my parents. They were shocked just like we were. Shared it with the in-laws. We just started sharing with a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the act of sharing is really what inspired me to write the book.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was the act of sharing is what truly got me through it.
Nice.
And not just, you know, internally getting through it, but it actually got me access to resources that I didn't know existed.
Wow.
Specialists, experts, discount pricing on different medications, like all those things that if I hadn't spoken of, if I hadn't said anything, I don't feel like I would have gotten access to the resources to try to ease the burden while going through it, not only for me, but also for my family, but also to increase my chances of survival. I'm here 9 years later, and it's all truly because I spoke up and said something.
That is awesome. I love it. I love it. You know, because sometimes we go in hiding when we start going through those difficult moments. I mean, your voice was a voice of advocacy for yourself and your family. So that is amazing. Were there any particular words that someone gave you, kept you fighting during that time?
There are definitely some words that were said. I remember my mother actually saying to me one day, actually two things she said to me. One, I'll recap. She said to me, you know, Catrice, we all know you're a strong woman, but you don't have to be strong at this time.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I need you to let other people help you.
Yes.
Don't turn down help.
Yes.
That help that they're giving you might be that they might be that inspiration that they needed to start helping others.
Yes.
But they helped you because they knew you. And all of a sudden, because of how they helped you and how it impacted you, that might inspire them to now go help some other people that they know and eventually others that they don't know.
Wow.
So she looked at it as, you know, yes, this is it's a trying time, but you know, what about the good that comes out of those who've helped you at this moment?
Yes.
And the other piece of it is reading books.
Yeah.
Right. You have to kind of feel your spirit And I remember a moment being on this in this social media group, and you know, was hearing like all these woes and things and challenges and sadness I had, and it was getting me down. And I remember my mother again saying, "What's wrong?" Because she could tell my spirit was, you know, not the regular, you know, uplifted spirit that I had, but it seemed to go down. And she was asking me questions, and I told her, you know, I've been reading these stories, it's making me sad, like, oh, I can't believe what's happening to some of these people and the problems they're having. And she's like, I'm gonna need you to cut that off for a minute. I'm gonna need you to shut that off, because I need your spirit to be in a place that you can be healed. So I need you to cut that off for a minute, and I need you to start reading some other things and start feeling your spirit. And so she gave me a book called The God Wink. And then I started looking online, and I found some other books that were helping to lift my spirits. But then that God Wink, it was just talking about, you know, these different moments that occur through trying times, and how, you know, some people think like, you know, God doesn't talk to me, but sometimes he talks to you through other people.
Yes.
And it's those God Wink moments. And so after reading that book, I started like definitely realizing that there were some God wink moments that were occurring throughout this journey.
Wow, that's incredible. Thank God for your mother, man. A moms can be a very amazing resources to us as well. You know, as you look back today on your darkest day, what kept you fighting? I'm sure there was a dark moment there. Well, on your darkest day, what kept you fighting?
I call it my turning point moment. Yeah. And I remember the dark moment. Again, right, mom, three kids, you know, love my family. And we were finally at that point where we were about to all, my siblings, my parents, and my kids, and my husband, we were all going to go on a family vacation. We had planned it out, but then my diagnosis occurred, and that limited travel and things of that nature. And I felt really bummed, thinking like, oh, you know, I'm sick, and now you're like, here it is. I'm impacting like the whole family. Like I'm messing up for everybody. And so I just had this woe is me moment. And so they were like, no, we're going to still do this. We're going to, you know, modify a little bit. We're going to figure something out. And so instead of where we're going to go, which I believe was Myrtle Beach, we're in Virginia. They're like, okay, there's beaches in Virginia. Let's go there. Let's, we're going to all fly to your house, or we're going to all take a van, and we're just going to go down there for the 3 days that you can go in between your chemo sessions. Yes. And we're going to go down and back. And I was like, okay, great solution. Then my next thought was, but they told me I can't get in the water. Like I'm going to go to the beach, and I'm going to be sitting there, and I can't go in the water. So it was another woe is me. And it was like the sourpuss feeling that was happening. And I had gone through about 3 or 4 chemo sessions. My hair was all gone by then. So it was like just building up. And that was like the linchpin right there. Like I'm going on vacation, but I'm not going to enjoy it. Right. Yeah. But you know, family's making all kinds of accommodations. It was me sitting in the back of that van. I remember this, in the back of that van, and we had rented some serious place, this big, huge van. We're all piled in there, and I'm in the back, and I had my Kindle, and I had a book that, again, right, mom had said, pour into you these great stories. Yes. And I found a book by another lady. Her first name is Lynn. I can't think of the name, but I was recommended to people. I was reading this book, and I was reading about these stories about resiliency, about these folks overcome cancer. And as I read each and every story, my spirit was lifting. By the time that little 4-hour trip getting to the beach, by the time I got down there, had a whole new spirit. I felt like that was like the absolute turning point of this whole cancer diagnosis journey. Hearing those stories of others, you know, you doing this podcast to share these stories, those stories were so inspirational to me that I was going to the beach and felt like, you know, there's nothing stopping me. Like, I don't know who I need to meet, where I need to go. My dad was like, you know, wherever you need to go to cancer treatment, you just let us know. Like, we're going to do it. And I was like, yeah, we're going to do it.
That's right.
What we got to do, but we're going to make it through.
That's right.
Know, they said 40% survive. I was like, I'm going to be a part of that.
That's 40%. That's right.
And so that's really, it's about what you fill your spirit with. that can have some amazing impact on where you go.
I love it. Those stories of resiliency kept her going in a difficult time as well. How would you say this whole ordeal has kind of shaped you as a person?
How it shaped me is it, for one, made me realize that I am resilient.
Absolutely.
I kind of knew that before. You know, there's been different, you know, challenges, not challenges in a negative way, but challenges in that, you know, being this, you know, little Black girl from Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and one of the few Black students in my class, mm-hmm. but still excelling academically.
Right.
You know, having parents that showed the example of hard work, and ensuring that we knew what hard work was, mm-hmm. and just seeing that on a daily basis, right? My dad being an educator, and in middle school, throughout our whole schooling in the summer times, he'd be on a roof roofing, and just seeing that hard work, and then having to go out there and help pick up all the roof pieces, yes. in the yard. And then being humbled because needing more money, he picked up a job being a janitor at night.
Yeah.
In the building. So in the day, he's an assistant principal.
Yeah.
And at night, he's a janitor.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
So you think about that as a kid. And I remember, you know, mom would say, you know, y'all, we need to go help dad, because, you know, we all got to get up in the morning to go to work. And feeling so embarrassed, like, oh my God, who's gonna, what if somebody sees me? And then, right. you know, my mom saying, like, you know, this is not embarrassing. This is, right. this is hard work. And this is what right. it takes to be able to raise a family. So right. you need to do what you got to do. And so it's that spirit that was, you know, put into me, and seeing that, okay, what job do I need to do to make sure that, right. you know, I get paid what I'm worth? And so I chose the engineering profession. And there's not enough of us,
that's right.
in that profession. And I excelled at that and, you know, became a manager in defense industry. So it was like just a building of things of, yeah. just, okay, if you continue to tackle things throughout your life, when those death type situations are upon you, mm-hmm. You're kind of already trained up to push through and to fight.
That's right. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. So as you look back today, 9 years later, would you do anything differently?
Would I do anything differently? So for one, there's a lot more resources available today than there used to be. I think that what I did was best for me.
Sure.
If faced with the same situation today, yes, I would do the same thing, but I would also take advantage of the numerous, you know, tools that are out there, sure. online that weren't available to me back then. Mm-hmm. I think that there's so many more resources available, but it can be confusing to people. You know, what I am offering now is something I did not access back then, and that would be coaching.
Wow, awesome.
I did access support groups and things of that nature, but I had to kind of figure it out on my own. And if I had access to a coach to kind of help me navigate that one-on-one, or even in a small group setting that's consistent, not showing up at a cancer center like, okay, well, who's in the office today, right? Yeah. Do they know me? Do I have a relationship? In some cases, yes, some cases, no. But right. having someone that, you know, maybe help guide me through it consistently, that would have been something I would have done differently.
That's awesome. I love it. Patrice, you know, we're coming off 2 years here. It's been tough for a lot of folks. You know, they've lost loved ones. They've lost money, jobs. Even in some situations, people have lost hope. For those folks out there listening right now, Patrice, what can you tell them to let them know that a brighter day is going to come?
I would tell them that there are going to be valleys, that there are going to be some sad moments and sad times. All of us face them. It could be early in life, it could be midlife like me, or it can be later in life. And know that there's someone else out there who has been in a similar situation and they have made it through. And sometimes it's those stories, that situation, that could be your guideposts,
yes.
to help you make it through that similar situation. And so don't think you're alone. one, look for others who've made it and maybe ask some questions, maybe, try to seek out what helped them in those situations.
Yes.
And if you need to, get a coach, get a partner, get someone to kind of help you through the situation. It's really hard to do anything like this, go through a hard situation alone. And yeah. You've got to find some type of support, either family, some sort of organization, or even some sort of coaching.
Well, that's awesome. Great advice, Catrice Nolan. Folks out there, hope you've been inspired by Catrice's story. You're talking about the epitome of resilience. You got to get her book. What's the name of that book again?
It's called I've Been Diagnosed, Now What? Courageously yes. Fighting Cancer in the Face of Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt.
Get that book. You're talking about a story of resiliency. And if folks want to follow you, Catrice, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is to follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Catrice Nolan.
Right. Reach out to her for sure. So, Catrice, we had a chance to talk a lot about tough stuff. Are you ready to have a little fun now?
Sure.
Okay, this portion of our show is called a rapid fire purpose questions. I'm going to ask you some questions about purpose, and you're going to give me and the audience your most concise answer. Are you ready?
Ooh, yes, I'm going to try. Oh, my goodness. Conciseness is tough.
All right. Here we go, Catrice. What gives your life meaning?
My family.
Yes. What one word best describes you?
Fierce.
Oh, I love it. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
People getting access to cancer support services.
Love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Ride bikes and play outside with neighborhood kids.
Do all the stuff kids do, right? What do you wish you had more time to do?
Connect with more people who need help.
Yes. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
Let's see, I think my 15-year-old self thought I might be a single lady living in Oklahoma, maybe definitely graduate from college and doing accounting.
Okay. She moved down the street from Oklahoma to DMV a little bit.
Yes, right. I never would have imagined Virginia at all.
Who inspires you the most?
My mom and dad.
Awesome. What's their names?
Frank and Patricia.
Shout out to Mr. Frank and Ms. Patricia. Awesome. Great role models. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to know about you?
Well, I'm a state track champion.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. What event?
The mile relay. I was the third leg of the mile relay.
The mile relay. Wow.
Mile relay. Yes. It's a killer.
Yes, it was. If I ran anything over, 200?
Exactly. Right. A sprinter being forced to run the mile relay. My coach heard it from me all the time. I was a trainer.
That is awesome. Congratulations. That's awesome. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
On my bucket list to do in the next year. Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, let's see. On my bucket list, I've done a lot of things that are on my bucket list. One of my things, maybe next year, but I'd love to go to Africa.
Okay. Awesome. That's a good one. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
What I realized over the last 9 years is no matter what, I'm going to be out there advocating for cancer survivors.
Awesome. I love it. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
I want my grandkids to say that that's my grandma. She's the one that, she fought cancer. And after she fought cancer, she launched this huge directory called Find Cancer Help that millions of people use every day.
I love it. I love it. I see it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
It would be seeing through walls and stuff. I don't know what that superpower is.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. Like Superman, Superwoman. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
My kids know all that. I'm like, I don't know which one that is.
That's a great superpower to have there. Absolutely. What sparks your creativity?
Reading.
Okay. I love it. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Healthcare for all.
That's a great one. I love it. Yes. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
I'd follow around, and this is typical, but, you know, I follow around Oprah because she's so influential. Yeah. And I'd want to kind of learn how to be influential and impactful on the world.
What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
I don't know. I don't focus on the compliments I should. You know what? So a recent compliment I received is that I'm a great connector and a giver.
Right. Oh, those are great assets to have. Absolutely. What's the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Talk to strangers.
Okay. Friendly person. I love it. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
I would say probably that state championship.
Uh-huh. That's a pretty good one. Going from being a sprinter to long distance, that's pretty remarkable. Absolutely. What does success look like for you?
Success for me is flexibility with my time to live a life on purpose.
Yes. What are you most grateful for?
Most grateful for my husband, because with him, I've been able to build a great family and a great life.
That's awesome. What's his name?
His name is Keith.
Shout out to Keith. Great husband out there. Love it. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
The biggest lesson I learned is that, you know, you hear that closed mouths don't get fed. Right. Closed mouths also don't get help.
That's right. Yes, I love it. That's a great lesson to learn. And last but not least, Catrice, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered in history as a woman who is the first Black female, one of the greatest Black female founders of a healthcare company.
I love it. Catrice Nolan, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job. Folks out there, I hope you've been inspired by Catrice's story. Make sure you follow her. Again, Catrice, if people want to follow you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best place to get a hold of me are on Instagram or Facebook, and or my website. And they're all CatriceNolan.com or Catrice Nolan.
Awesome. So lastly, Catrice, there's two things our podcast centers on: resiliency and purpose. What last words do you leave our audience with around resiliency and purpose?
So the last words I'll leave them with are that it truly takes resiliency to live a life of purpose.
Yes.
That there are going to be some tough moments ahead of you no matter what.
Yes.
And it's your ability to get through those tough moments that are the stepping stones to continue to build that life of purpose.
Yes, I love it. Very wise words from a resilient person. Catrice Nolan. Folks out there, if you've been inspired by our podcast, we want you to go to our website, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories, download this episode, rate it, share it with your folks on social media. If you're someone out there, you're an overcomer, we want to hear from you. Please go to T.A. Watson and share your story with us. Until next time, God bless. Peace and deuces, everyone. Yours truly, peace. Dr. Watson.